Hello and welcome to This Is Your Journey, the Specialist Learning Disability Service podcast. This is Jenna, Specialist Learning Disability Nurse in Mental Health. And today's episode, I'm joined with Emily, who's a parent I've worked with within our service. And we are going to be thinking about what it's like to be a parent with children with learning disabilities, what it's like for Emily with her own disabilities and working with professionals. And I really hope this is a episode that's really supportive to our parents, carers and professionals out there. So hope you enjoy and hope that you're able to really take something away. I'm really pleased and honoured to have Emily. Welcome, Emily. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. So, Emily, I wanted to start with looking at, we did a document, which I'm really passionate about, which is working with professionals. And it was a document to help professionals think about how to best support you and your family. And I just wondered what you thought of that working professionals document, what it meant to you.
I wished I put this document in sooner. I started our journey quite a while ago, but we've only just put this document together in the last 6 months after a couple of instances. I wished I put the document together sooner because it's been a real help in highlighting what my own needs are, as well as what my children's needs are.
When you talk of that, Emily, if you don't mind, you have, am I correct, it's Moya-Moya disease, and we thought about this, and it's quite a rare disease, isn't it? But it's really impactful for yourself and the children. Would you just mind sharing what Moya-Moya disease means and how it does impact?
So Moya-Moya affects the blood vessels in the brain, so therefore it affects the blood flow to the brain. It affects everybody very, very differently, so it affects myself and my children very differently. So I wished I put a document explaining how the disease affects myself sooner, which hasn't always been acknowledged by everyone that has worked with us as a family.
Yeah, I think for me, like you said, it was about helping professionals understand the impact of the disease for yourself as a parent and for your children. What do you think professionals learnt from the document? What do you think it helped them understand about yourself and for the children as a family?
I think that document helped highlight how the disease has an impact on my life separate to how it impacts my children's life. So obviously they initially come in to support the children, but obviously it helps highlight that actually it's an issue for the whole family, and it helps professionals realise the impact of the disease on myself too. And I would say this for anybody in this situation, that the first thing that I would now probably request is that to have a documentation that covers you as a whole family to make sure people understand your own needs if you have them.
That's incredible. Thank you, Emily. What do you think? So you've, I appreciate, had lots of us in and out of your children's life. Thinking for the professionals who are going to listen to this podcast episode, and for especially our team that work with parents who come into our service, what would you say to them you have found in your experience makes a good professional, please?
The ones that are open to understand it as a overall case and not just the child that they are visiting. They need to be aware of other people's needs within the house and how a visit might impact them and plan accordingly. I also think when having a conversation with any parent that actually you make sure that you ask what would help that parent the best in support.
That is an incredible answer. Thank you. I was thinking one of the things we work with children with all ranges in our service, and I wondered from your experience, when a parent learns or a carer or family member that their child has different needs, what advice do you think you would, give them from your experience? What would you say to them? If you could go back to yourself when you first knew, what would you say, this is what I'd advise them to do? What could have helped?
Be more aware of the services that are out there that could potentially help.
I think we don't always know what we don't know, but if there was a way in which you knew what was available for you, and especially in those early stages, even if you don't need it now, I think just knowing that who's out there, what's out there, so you know they're not knowing, but it's not a presumption that everyone knows that.
Also, it would help that, because over the years I found myself in several different situations where situations look like one thing and turn out to be another. Would help if professionals has a more open mind in the beginning and really do listen rather than just writing a situation or something of nothing.
Yeah. I think listening to me is really key. And like you said, talking to you, checking what we're writing, thinking, not presuming or making always our judgment, sounds really key. Something I also thought of, Emily, is when we visit as professionals, we know that your oldest child doesn't always respond well and can find it difficult. How do you think as professionals, because we go into families' homes, what would you say we can do if the child or young person doesn't respond well, or what might be classed as rude? What can we do to help you as parents or carers in that situation? I appreciate it's individual, but just that.
Understand that it's not their fault. The situation, so they need to try and enter the house or any house with an open mind of what potentially they might be faced with, and also know that it's not a try not to make it personal rather than it's an overall situation. And also, try not to force a engagement if one is not reciprocated back, because that can also make the situation worse when you leave. As a professional, you need to remember that this is still their house at the end of the day, and to them, you're a stranger entering their personal space. And I think it's important professionals are entering a child's safe space.
That's incredibly put. And I think as professionals, we can feel like we should be trying to make that interaction, like you said, and it's our own comfortability to sit and not force, like you said. And that's really important to remember. It's your space as a family and it's the child's we're entering. The other one, Emily, was I've been really thoughtful working with you about the multiple appointments that you have, and because both your children have needs and yours. And I work with so many parents and carers who have so many appointments. And I just wondered, like, we have paper calendars, there's so many things. What do you find helps the most trying to manage the multiple appointments you have? What do you use?
I usually use paper.
Yeah.
But I used to find myself over the last year losing paper copies of things. So now I put everything in my phone calendar because then it's all in one place. Nice. The other thing I do is I try and restrict the number of appointments I have in a week. And if I have a lot of hospital appointments, I say no to professional appointments. I've learnt sort of trying to keep it to one, maybe two a week. I definitely refuse to have more than one appointment a day, and actually I tend to refuse, if I've already got one meeting booked in, I tend to refuse to have any more that week because it can become overwhelming to just sit through meetings.
It's just such a good answer, Emily. And so, yeah, you're so articulate in how you're saying it, and you're 100% right. You have so many, and it's really good you're able to advocate for yourself and help us, because I think as professionals, we can come with our goals, our aims, and we're like, we want this meeting, we want to help. But actually, it can come overwhelming, like you said, especially when you have a child who has multiple appointments, or you've got more than one child, or your own appointments too. So being able to tell us as professionals and help us go, this is what I can do and this is what I can't do. We looked at, when we were preparing for this podcast, I asked you, what do you think one of the hardest parts of being a parent with children with disabilities, and what can help? And you talked about taking one battle at a time, and it was a very honest answer that there are challenges. And I just wondered if you could help explain, like when you said one battle at a time, and that not taking on too many at once, because it can feel overwhelmed.
I've learned over the years to focus one battle at a time. Because if you try and juggle all the battles all at once, it can become overwhelming. And I think you learn to accept the things that you can't change. You also have to look at the positives in order to have any sense of quality of life, because I found if you dwell on the things you can't do, you run the risk of missing out and enjoying the things that they can do. I've learnt to take pleasure in the things that they can enjoy out of life and makes them happy, rather than dwelling on the things that they can't do or don't necessarily make them happy in life.
That's an incredible answer. Absolutely, wow. The other one, Emily, we thought about is you experience where our services step in and we step out again. And I work with this and have my own feelings and kind of reflect that can feel difficult for myself as a professional. I wondered for yourself, what would you say helps when we're needing to close services? We talked last time, you talked about just knowing the door slightly open, that you know that we need to close, but just what helps that closing for you? What do you think helps you when we close? What just, yeah, that would be really helpful for
it's
me and families.
What helps me is the fact that as far as a paperwork trail goes, officially officially the case is closed. However, I've been very lucky that most of my professionals has left me all their contact details and said, actually, because of my own need, that if I'm ever stuck, professionally from their point of view, the door is always open to send an email, to send a text message, and they will respond when they can, and if necessary, will re-escalate the case or just offer a quick bit of advice where needed.
Yeah,
I'm not convinced as a parent that has her own needs this completely shutting the door on somebody helps completely. I find having a point of contact easier to pin a quick question by than having the door closed completely. And I have wondered whether this should be looked at a better angle, because currently I'm relying on the professionals I've already worked with offering that. It's not a standard thing that is offered.
Yeah, really valid points and things that I know we continue to look at in our service and CFHD, because we are really thoughtful of what you said. So thank you. We'll be able to take that forward and look at. Of course you can. Please do.
I struggle when I don't have a point of contact, especially if it's not a named point of contact. And I've been lucky because we have just been closed in a lot of our cases, but all the professional teams that have been involved has recognised this and have kindly left that door, that as an option for us open. I don't necessarily believe that it should come down to a professional person judgment to offer that. I think actually needs to be assessed on a case by case, family by family, and whether something else should be offered instead.
That feels really family centred. That's a wonderful answer. The next one I wanted to ask, Emily, was I have been thoughtful about you are a mum to two children who have their own needs in their own rights, but they also, how that works, because I've been thoughtful of them as siblings, that they both take a caring role. They both see the hospital appointments. They've both seen their health change. And I just wondered what your thoughts were as a mum, where other parents and carers have children with their own needs, and how that you see that affects them as siblings. That was quite a big question. Let me break that down, because I thought, how do you see, do you see them worry about each other in their own needs and how they are?
Mine's struggle with understanding each other's needs. Yeah. I think they're aware each have their own needs, but it's very difficult for them to understand each other's needs. Okay. And again, I think this comes down to when professionals are questioning a incident that has gone on in the house, I think they need to understand that you're dealing with potentially two children with very different needs, and that does have an impact on situations that may happen in the house. And again, I think professionals, this goes to schools as well, that they need to not differ if one child is affecting the other. They need to understand that actually it's a combination of both kids' needs are having an impact on both of them.
Yeah, very well put. So finally, Emily, I wanted to ask what it is you'd like to say to parents, carers who are listening to our podcast episode today on This Is Your Journey. Is there anything you think you'd like to say that might help or help professionals? Anything you just, your space to say?
Except the professionals' help, because I've had some incredible information over our journey. Yeah. Also, ask whatever help is potentially out there, because this can change over the course of your journey of charities that you may not be entitled to at the beginning, but further down your path you are entitled to. And constantly just make sure you have somebody or reviewing whether you're entitled to something else over the course of your journey. Just because you're not entitled to something at one stage doesn't mean further down the line of your journey you're not going to be entitled to something else.
That is absolutely perfect. Thank you so much. That takes us into thinking about, like you said, what you might not be entitled to now. Things change, your children may change, your needs may change. So it's just keeping that in mind that it's always worth asking. Always, yeah, if you don't know, ask the question. Someone may be able to help. Emily, thank you so much for joining us on This Is Your Journey podcast. I am so grateful. We'll look to get the Work Into Professionals document, something we're looking to see if we can look to make available to parents and carers, and we'll upload onto our website. So I hope you really enjoyed this podcast. Tune in, we'll have more episodes joining on This Is Your Journey. Thank you so much, Emily.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.